Hey, clever foxes, welcome to the products and services lesson. We're going to take a good look at your products and services you are or you are planning to offer and how this benefits your customers. So I want to ask you, what are you offering your customers and what need is it filling? Take a minute before we start to think about the question. If you are not actually filling a need for someone, they will not be purchasing from you. So as you're going through all the tasks for this lesson, really try to focus on what problem you are trying to solve for someone. So as an example, if you're selling yoga classes, maybe their need might be that they need to relax. Or if you're selling jewelry, maybe their need might be that they are looking for a special gift for a friend. If there is no way, no how, any kind of possible problem that your product is solving, you need to rethink your product. So we're going to cover pain points, income opportunities, price points, and also pricing for profit. What you need to do is find out what your customers' pain points are. Pain points are frustrations or challenges your ideal customer has that your products or services help them to solve. Louise Francis has said, "No matter how fantastic your idea is, if it doesn't solve a problem for your target market, it won't be sustainable." So I have an example here. One pain point might be a low-income family wants some good quality photographs of their children to send to loved ones, but don't know how they could possibly afford it. So maybe your services are, you offer professional mini portrait sessions for families at a lower price point than a full session, and also offer payment plans to make it more affordable for low-income families to invest in quality photography. Notice this example doesn't say you are offering your services cheaply to satisfy certain customer types, but rather finding a solution that enables you to offer a professional service while still charging what you are worth and what your business needs to be sustainable. Another example might be that a mother-in-law wants to throw her pregnant daughter-in-law a special baby shower to honor her first grandchild. She wants it to be a unique, one-of-a-kind boutique celebration, but she can't find any high-quality, classy invitations with a special touch. So here's where your products might come in. You offer custom-designed, hand-embellished invitations for all types of celebrations, a premium service at a premium price, no two sets are the same, a truly unique product for the discerning customer. So in these examples, the premium product is perfect for the customer throwing the baby shower, but would obviously not be suitable for the low-income family. This is why you need to solve the right problems for the right people. Your customers should feel like your product or service is a gift to them, even though they're paying for it. Now we're going to talk a little bit about income opportunities. I want you to make a list of all the products and services you currently offer or plan to offer in the future. From this list, brainstorm a bunch of other products or services that you could also possibly offer. I want you to think of as many options as possible. For each product or service you come up with, try to think of another complementary product or service that might solve a pain point for your customers. There is nothing too crazy or out there in this list. We want to throw down every possible idea you might have. So if you're only offering products, are there opportunities to offer any services or vice versa? I want you to go through your list and put a star next to your top 10 that fit with your brand and complement the other products or services to form a cohesive suite. Do these all resonate with you? Do they fit with the message of your business? And are they your passion work? I also want to talk about active versus passive income. The idea here is to identify some less labor-intensive passive income streams that may be able to complement your core line of products or services. So most passive income streams are, of course, not completely passive. You actually do need to put the work in to create the product or service in the first place. And usually most things need updating over time. But for the most part, you want to create something once and then sell it to the masses without any extra effort. As an example, an ebook could take a good month of hard work to put together. But once it's perfect and you have your selling system set up all tickety-boo, you can sell that sucker to thousands of people with zero more work needed on your part. On the other end of the scale, teaching one-to-one workshops on the same content is very active and labor-intensive work. The price points of these two items would be vastly different. But even at a much lower price point, the ebook could easily outsell the workshop 1,000 to 1 and make for a much more profitable income stream. This is what I mean about active versus semi-passive. I say semi-passive because there is obviously work involved. Active income streams could include money for time, service-based businesses. So if you're a party planner, a coach, consultant, trainer, masseuse, etc., you'll be spending the time with the client one-on-one generally. It could be money for goods, so selling products or tangible goods, jewelry, furniture, handmade goods, cakes, anything. It could be commissioned work, so usually in addition to ready-made goods, one-of-a-kind, personalized pieces at a premium price. So some semi-passive income streams could include digital products, ebooks, downloadable printable art, printable instruction sheets, recipes, things like patterns. It could be subscription or memberships. This could include yoga studios or art centers, online community sites. Or you could also do blogging, and this could be advertising, sponsored posts, affiliate commissions, etc. So the reason I say semi-passive, because obviously if you're writing a sponsored post on your blog, you actually have to put in a lot of time and work into that post. But advertising, however, if they're just kind of ticking over in your sidebar, you can be earning passive income from that. For the worksheet for this lesson, the active versus passive income streams worksheet, for the active income section, the hours per week just needs to be approximate, but you really need to think honestly about how much time you do or you will need to be spending on each item, because it's usually more than you first think. And for the passive section, time invest is approximately how much time you need to invest initially to create the product or service. So how long is it going to take you to create that ebook? Return is your approximate return on investment. For the amount of time you are spending on the item, how much are you making in return? If you have high profit margins on your active income streams, you won't get so burnt out trying to make a full-time wage equivalent because you can do less work for more dollars. If you have a low profit margin, more on this in a sec, you'll be working your ass off for little in return, and this is all kinds of bad. For the passive table, think about the potential sales for your return, not the price point of the actual product or service. Finally, the passion level section is an important one. If you're making good money on an item but the passion level is at zero, is it actually really worth it? Have a good think about this and analyze the worksheet once it's filled in to give you some insight into where you should be focusing your efforts for your products and services. Now, it's really important to keep in mind when doing these exercises that the big list of all the stuff that you can sell is not indicative of all the products or services you should be offering. It's just a possibilities list. You should still retain your product focus and not try to sell 11 billion things all at once. Once you have your list of things that you could be offering, identify which of three different price points each fits into by using the worksheet on this. Price points are prices at which demand for a given product is supposed to stay relatively high. This doesn't translate into low-cost items sell more. Premium products or services that are priced too low are actually perceived as lower quality by customers, so keep that in mind. You need to price it at the right point, and generally it's probably a little bit higher than you think. For now, you don't need to put actual numbers on the price points. We'll just start with entry level, standard, and premium. The price points represent the pricing of your items within your brand and relating to your target market, so it's not actually compared to other businesses or similar products on the market. So as an example, when I was selling jewelry, I had my standard pieces ranging from $20 to $40. My entry level were very small items and they were about $5 to $15 each. And then I had my premium products at around $55 and up. My best sellers were necklaces priced at around $25, which actually had my highest profit margin of around $20 each. So if you're selling more premium products, your entry level might be $50 or even $750. It really just depends on what your products and services are. And this is why it's important not to compare with anyone else at this stage or put numbers on the price points. The important thing here is to have an overview of your products to see whether you are catering to different levels of monetary commitment for first-time buyers. Because sometimes people aren't ready to commit to that $75 item, but they really love your stuff. So if they can get something for about $30, they're much more willing to pay. And it also means that they'll come back later for the $75 item. Okay, let's talk about pricing for success, because lots of people want to know how to price your goods. The formula you use to price your products or services could make or break your business. Lots of people undercharge and don't make enough to grow in any way, and some overcharge and outprice their target market. So it's really good to start with a basic formula to make sure you are paying yourself for your time, but also making some sort of profit to sustain the business. And at the same time, asking for a realistic and attainable price. You also need to take into account all the varying factors unique to your own business, such as your target market and ideal customers, the existing competition, and the perceived value of your goods. The general trend with new business owners is to undercharge either from a lack of confidence or a lack of experience or a lack of market testing. If you want your business to be profitable, sustainable, you need to snap out of it quick smart. So first up, be confident in your products and yourself. Remember, your ideal customer wants to purchase from you and at the appropriate price point. You don't actually need to make excuses for why this costs this and that costs that because your ideal customer doesn't question it. Of course, it helps if you have done some of the sums and believe that you've got the right price point, and this is where experience comes in. No matter what formula you use, your pricing will go through a period of trial and error before you hit the perfect number. This trial and error is where market testing comes in. You should try a few different price points to see what the market is happiest to pay. So if you have some items that aren't selling well or they're just stagnating, try a lower price point, but more often try a higher price point because that generally works a lot of the time. So what formula should you use? So at a very basic level, you should start with something like this for products. You have your materials plus time plus overhead plus profit equals wholesale, and then wholesale times 2 equals retail price. Of course, this will be different when offering services, so you'll need to do some research into existing services to look at what sort of price points you're competing with and how you would differ to those depending on your expertise, your point of difference, and your ideal customers. The reason that pricing services is more difficult than pricing products because you can often pinpoint the cost of making a physical product, but it's much more subjective to calculate the worth of your expertise and the value of your time. There's actually loads of great pricing articles online, and I encourage you to read all the links that I've included on this page to gain more insight into pricing. So you can try some of the formulas out and see what you think works best for you and your own products and services. And make sure to share in the private Facebook group about what kind of formula that you are using and what is working. And if you have no idea, ask for feedback and advice. Show us a picture of what you're planning to sell and we can sort of, you know, test it on us. Where we might be, someone in the group might be part of your market. So you can test out your formula and your pricing on real people. I want you to follow a formula for at least 5 of your products or services to come up with a retail price. You can then look at your competitors, or as I like to call them, potential collaborators. You can look at their prices and see where you match up and where you don't. The important thing here is do not be tempted to lower your prices simply because somebody else is doing it cheaper, because you'll totally be doing yourself a disservice. So that's it for our pricing lesson. Make sure that you hop down and do all the tasks that are included on this page, and also jump into the Facebook group and tell us one form of passive income you might work towards or offering or that you already offer. And also remember to ask for help if you're struggling at all with your pricing formula. See you there.